17 minutes past 6 o'clock. Now, it sounds like it should be next door to the pub with no beer, the station with no trains. It's the brand new Irish Rail station at Hansfield in West Dublin. It's so new, in fact, it has never been used, and it's there a year. In a while, we'll thrash out why the good people of the Ungar area have been waiting for a train longer than most. But first, we asked Drive Time's Commuter-in-Chief Brian Lally to get a ticket and get on board.
Now, in a perfect world, I should be able to use one of these to get one of these to get where I wanted to go yesterday evening, which is a place called Ungar. But I had to use one of these. Let's find out why.
There's a train. Nicely timed.
Oh yeah, nicely timed, yeah.
That train that has just rolled by in the distance, that could be bringing you home here to Ungar, couldn't it?
Exactly, yeah. That's the whole reason I bought this place here, like most of the residents. And this was one of the top priority, that the train station would open up and, you know, it'll be quite handy for us to get into town in just 20 minutes. So, like, at the moment, I have to, like, walk for 30 minutes each way to get to the nearby next station, Clonsilla Station.
June, you were fondly, almost a tear in your eye there when you saw that train passing by.
Absolutely, that's our train that we should be able to get every day, but it's just passing us by and passing the train station by. I was looking at other estates, but they were further away from the train station. I didn't want to have to drive to the train station, which is currently what I have to do. Mm. It was on the advertisements. We were promised it would open summer 2010.
We're still seeing those hoardings up all around Barnwell here. Look what's coming. Choo, choo, choo. Whizzing by. And unfortunately, whizzing by is what they're doing.
Absolutely, yeah. They're whizzing by. And currently, I drive to the station and that's about a 10-minute drive to the station, and then it's obviously 30 minutes on the train.
Ronan, tell me a bit about your situation, because you have a circuitous commute, don't you?
Yeah, Brian, I have to go into Clonskee, so I have to go into the city centre and out the other side. There are times I can walk to Clonsilla train station and do what June and Prakash are doing, but the majority of the time I drive. I leave before 7 to try and get in before 8, because the commute, traffic-wise, is too hard otherwise. Yeah. I mean, it costs a fortune to drive the car in and out every day. And with the train station so close, there's obviously the tax schemes that you can avail from in your employer to try and get reduced fees. And it actually makes the commute quite cheap. So now I'm faced with tolls if I choose to go the M50. I'm faced with petrol money, which is, as you know, it's always increasing. Parking charges, so everything is just it's costing an arm and a leg. I think personally that the builders have really left the people down. We're disappointed and we've got a bad taste in our mouths, because it's not complete and our promises are basically unanswered.
Ruth Coppinger, you're a councillor for this area, and I suppose part of the reason for a lot of the silence that we've got is that a fraction of the houses that were proposed for this area have been built. A fraction of the houses that have been built are occupied.
This area was the fastest grown area of Western Europe. We never got the infrastructure. We've had to fight for schools. We had to fight for community centres. We never, during the height of the boom, when the country was so-called awash with money, got a Lewis or any of the public transport that was needed. Traffic chaos was the order of the day out here. All that's needed is a road that would cost €1 million to build. It's the price of, say, 3 houses that would have been sold here in Barnwell. It may well be the case that the developer can't proceed with the second phase, but he's made profits on the houses that he sold here already. Plus, surely if the road was built and the station was open, he'd sell more houses.
And there's another one. My goodness, a lesser spotted train going the other way in towards town. And another thing that occurs to me is that it would behove the city fathers and the councils and everything else like that to try and get as many of Ronan's and Prakash's and June's cars off the city streets and the surrounding roads as they can, to make the place better as well.
The clientele is here for a train station. You know, there's people in Clonee, Clonsilla, Ungar, Mulhuddard, all over, who would love to access this.
And Prakash, you were telling me the train actually does stop, but alas, nobody can get on or off.
Yeah, it's a shame that I walk for 30 minutes to Clonsilla station, and from there I can actually see the train stopping at Hansfield station for 10 minutes, and it's a shame that I can't actually hop onto it just walking by for 2 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, that train station is gathering dust for a year. You know, you just could not invent it. And it's unbelievable that all we need is a road to it, which would cost less than £1 million, as I say. And there seems to be, of course, no end of money to bail out developers. developers are able to hold up this station being used by local people.
An extraordinary situation out there at Hansfield in West Dublin. And you can see some of the photos of the billboards that were mentioned in that report by Brian Lally on the Drive Time webpage. Now, let's tease out a little more why this station is lying idle. I'm joined by Barry Kenny from Irish Rail and Mark Gleeson of Rail Users Ireland. Barry Kenny, were they all sold to pup when they bought houses in the belief that they were going to have a train station?
Well, I mean, I could make comments about all property advertising, I suppose, for some period of time. But basically what happened was when the new line to Dunboyne and the M3 Parkway was opened in September of last year, Hansfield Station was due to open with that. And indeed, we completed the construction of the station at the time. But some months before the line was opened, it became apparent to us that as well as the development around Hansfield Station having ground to a halt, the developers weren't delivering the road.
All right, are you telling me you completed your side of the bargain?
Exactly, and this was obviously a source of concern to us because, as I say, there was significant money spent on Hansfield Station, and we felt that certainly there would be a demand. And what we've been doing since then, we weren't in a position to get that resolved before the line opens, but we did feel it was important to open that line anyway and serve Dunboyne and the M3 Parkway station. But we've been working with Fingal County Council, with the developers, with at this stage NAMA, because one of the developers is
who are the developers?
There. Manali and Manor Park are the developers, and Manali Homes are in NAMA. So
and they were, sorry Barry, you provided the station. You spent, was it 10 million?
That would have been the overall cost. Now, there were contributions there as well. But,
and then Manali and Manor were to provide the access road.
That's correct.
And it's a lack of access road is stopping this train station from functioning.
It is, because quite simply you can't bring people in there. Now, what we want to do is to get a solution that will benefit not just the people living right beside it, but the people of Ongar and Cluny and areas that were mentioned there. And how we're going to do that is we've been talking to Fingal to get agreement to get a car park developed beside the station, which wasn't initially in the plans. But basically, if you open the station now, you'll get some demand from right beside the station, but not as much as envisaged. If we can get a car park there, which we do have agreement for now, it means that it'll allow people from a much wider catchment area to get to the station.
How much do you estimate you're losing by not having an ability to take on passengers at Hansfield?
Well, I don't think it's the money side of things. I think it's the inconvenience and the frustration for people that are living there.
Absolutely, I agree with you, but you did spend 10 million developing a station. I presume you'd have been hoping to claw some of it back.
That is a capital investment, but again, the numbers that were envisaged to live beside the station aren't there, so it's not an easy comparison. But, as I say, we are working on this. We had a good meeting earlier this week. We do feel this is something that's close to resolution, but I can't tell you right
that
now
it's
when it will be finally resolved.
Would €1 million sort it out?
You see, again, I suppose we have to get access to land to develop this car park to make it a practical benefit, not only to...
Who owns the land? Is it the developers? Or NAMA?
There's a bit of both there. And also we're getting, the council are working with us and they're going to adjust the zoning there to allow us to get a car park. So in fairness, everybody is working together. We do feel this is near resolution, but there is just a little bit of way to go.
All right. Well, we did ask Leo Varadkar, who is the Minister for Transport, but also TD in the constituency, to talk to us today. He was unavailable, but he did issue a statement and he said that all the parties involved, he's met with them and progress is being made. So Barry Kenny, he's basically agreeing with you that progress is being made. We'll try and see how quickly it might arrive at a conclusion in a minute. Mark Gleeson, this is one ghost train station. We've talked about others on this programme before. How many so-called ghost stations are there just around Dublin at the moment and then maybe just around the country?
In Dublin there are three. There is Kishogue, which is on the Dublin Kildare line. Again, a similar story, a station fully built, but no development happened in the locality. Despite being actually accessible by pedestrians, the station remains closed. And there are further two stations on the Green Lewis line at Racecourse, next to Leopardstown, and also Brennanstown. Again, a station built in expectation that there will be development, and there now lies a green field.
Right, the one that comes under, does Kishogue come under your jurisdiction, Barry Kenny?
It does indeed, yes. And we're again working with the National Transport Authority to look at that. There are some legal and property issues to be resolved there. It's probably
not as far.
It is in dealing with landowners and providing facilities that are needed there, but it isn't as far along in terms of resolution as Hansfield. I would say that it's probably a little bit further away from resolution.
All right, and outside of Dublin, Mark?
Well, outside of Dublin, there is the curiosity of Manolva Junction, a station where a passenger can change trains but can never leave or can never actually join a train or leave a train.
Where is it?
It's situated about halfway between Claremorris and Castlebar. And it is just for passengers to change. Now, there aren't many people in the living close by, but surely if there was a pedestrian access, some business might be generated, and Irish Rail is desperately short of business on many of its routes.
Do you want to come in on that, Barry?
I mean, I think it's a completely different scenario there. And when Manolva Station was closed in the 1960s because the access was closed off to it, it remains a transfer point. So as we can continue to get people on the Ballinasloe line in to connect on the Westport train. So it does serve a purpose there. There isn't really a demand around that immediate area. And it's, you know, it's an unusual situation, I'll grant you that, but it's not an unprecedented one in other countries. There are
similar arrangements. Would you argue that there are other ghost stations that are empty? People choose not to use them because they were never needed, they were never wanted in the first place. We put stations where there was no demand.
Well, there is a discussion ongoing concerning two stations in the Western Rail Corridor. They are Crockwell and Ardrahan. And indeed, a third station is under planning permission at the moment at Cushing. And there's a serious question raised of whether those stations were sustainable and viable when they were built. Demand from the stations is extremely low. And the real point of discussion is if those stations didn't exist, the journey time from Galway to Limerick, which is already uncompetitive by bus, would have been reduced by maybe 7 or 8 minutes with a net saving to Iarna Éireann. And of course, it's a shorter journey time, tends to attract more passengers.
Because you can drive now more quickly than you can take it with the development of a lot of the roadways, maybe not indeed on the Western Rail corridor, but in other parts of the country. Barry, any response? Crockwell, Ardrahan and Cruisin?
Well, again, you know, the stations on the Western Rail corridor was built very much with regional development in mind.
And it was where they built, would we call these tiger stations?
No, I mean, you know, there are obviously small towns that these stations serve, but the thing is that obviously development of all types has ground to a halt. But we have just recently improved the schedule along that route with an additional service, and we would be hopeful that we will see improved journeys overall. I mean, along the route, and you have to take the route in totality, including the Limerick Ennis and Athenry Galway section.
Are you going to do Oranmore and Cruisin?
Yeah, Oranmore. I mean, Oranmore will be very busy because that stretch between Athenry and Galway is an extremely busy stretch now with 125,000 passenger journeys in the time since the Western Rail Corridor opened on that stretch. And Oranmore will definitely get people in. And we'd hopeful as well, the Cruisin mill, we're working with the local authority there and we've applied for planning permission.
All right. Would you just give me, before we finish, just a time when you think Hansfield will be open, because that's the most immediate one.
It is, and you know, matters do need to be resolved. We will be hopeful that we could get that open early in 2012, but as I say, we hope to confirm that very quickly. We do still have a little bit of work to do.
All right, Barry Kenny of Iarna Éireann, thank you very much. Mark Gleeson, thank you as well for joining us, and the earlier report from Brian Lally. It's 6:30.